ASAP. Any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go. Come on.
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown. 90-yard touchdown.
What is up, guys, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, and today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Today is going to be the start of a special program this week, guys, because it's the ultimate divisional crossover round two. We talked with all of the hosts before the offseason, free agency, and the draft. So now we get back together and kind of preview what the expectations are and the biggest questions we have for this team. Today we are starting with Ryan Tracy and the Locked On Chiefs. So thanks again for listening and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Locked On Network. This is a special show for you. We have everybody. I'm joined by Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos, Daniel Wade from Locked On Chargers, and your boy Q from Locked On Raiders. We're going to get down to what's going on. This is the ultimate divisional crossover. You guys heard us a few months ago, and we're checking back in. So it's been an interesting time, right, fellas?
It really has. You know, that to me, I think when you go back to last time we did it, the Chiefs were just coming off the Super Bowl. And I think for the AFC West, we were all sitting in reflection talking about how can we, respectively, covering our, you know, our teams in our divisions, how can we compete against Kansas City and how can we get better in our own right? So a lot has changed since then. So obviously very excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, it is a strange time as well. I mean, coming off the Super Bowl victory for the Chiefs, we still thought we had sports. And, you know, sports hasn't been the same really since early March. And so it's really been strange on how everything and every team is navigating through and how the NFL has been able to continue to build the machine that they are and not really been affected too much by COVID-19, the pandemic. But at the same time, you know, there's opportunities and there's been some practice times lost. So it is a strange time that we're in right now, but at least it's some good football to talk about.
Yeah, and thank God that it didn't end when COVID-19 started, right? I mean, thank God we had football unimpeded by everything else, and we still got to – I mean, nothing really got changed that much besides the draft itself. But I think we were all wondering how the rest of this division was going to react to what they saw from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think what you saw was no one really dropped off the face of the map. I think you saw a lot of teams make a lot of important decisions, all these teams acting like they still want to win now, and they're all trying to compete in this division.
So, Ryan, because this is the Chiefs focus day, we're going to start things off here. I've got to ask you the question, man. I think everybody in the NFL community that maybe if they haven't been paying attention, they should have been. You know, but what has changed since the last time that we all sat down on the same exact podcast and we talked about the division at large? What's changed with the Kansas City Chiefs from the perspective of free agency and the NFL draft?
To be honest, I think the thing that changed most dramatically from my perspective is the target that's on the backs of Andy Reid and the team there. The Chiefs have been successful in what they had planned to do. Brett Veach said it, honestly, right after the Super Bowl, that he was going to do his best to keep this team together, keep everybody back that he could. And despite what is a lot of hurdles, he's been able to do that pretty well. 20 of 22 starters coming back. That's a significant step forward from a team that had to rise to the occasion there at the end of the season, but certainly did it. And despite its deficiencies, pulled off a championship. I think that's a good sign going forward. But they've made a few additions where they had to and where they had some opportunity. And I think they're very excited about the top three guys especially, but they thought they had a good draft class, and they think that they're going to be solid in an attempt to go back and run it back.
Ryan, one of the biggest things that I talk about when I talk about the Chiefs in general is one guy, and it's not Patrick Mahomes. That's the guy everyone talks about. But I always talk about Mecole Hardman just because I feel like he is such a difference maker. And he's Tyreek Hill when they thought Tyreek Hill wasn't going to be there. That was the reason why they drafted him. I remember being in Nashville when it happened, and a lot of Kansas City beat writers were like, well, he's going to take Tyreek Hill's spot. Lo and behold, that didn't happen. So now you have Mecole Hardman. How does the Kansas City Chiefs, how does Andy Reid expand his play and his performance and what he brings to the team in 2020 as opposed to just having him in there, at, not a gadget guy, but he wasn't able to maximize his abilities in 2019?
That's definitely true, and part of that is because McColl only played wide receiver for 2 years at Georgia, so he's still in the transition phase getting to the position, let alone into the NFL, right? The interesting thing was, and I agree with you, they certainly were trying to stall off what might happen with Tyreek Hill now that they have both of them. And Tyreek Hill has his kids back and all that, and all the questions that were that problem offseason are out the window at this point. And now they have the dilemma of spreading the ball around enough, because what we saw from Mecole Hardman is he took advantage of his opportunities last year. He still has some struggling with sight adjustments in particular. Mahomes uses that quite a bit and reinstalls that from day one. So he's still got the mental side of the offense and particularly of the wide receiver position to keep climbing. But you saw what he does when he gets an opportunity. And I know that there's been a lot of contact between the wide receiver group themselves over the offseason. With Sammy Watkins back and keeping attention on the outside, McColl can eat in the middle. I mean, those seams are going to be a target all year long, because what else can they do between Kelce, Watkins, and Hill? Mecole Hardman has the biggest upside in 2020, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But I think a key part of this offseason for you guys was restructuring that Sammy Watkins deal. I know a lot of people weren't sure if he was even going to be back, but at one point, $171 in free cap space, like just numbers you've never even seen before kind of thing. But they were able to open up that a little bit. And there were some guys going into it, Fuller, I mean, Ogba, both those guys. I mean, you were never really going to be able to keep those guys. But if you're talking about change, that's a lot of turnover and things like that. But given the fact that they were able to open up that $5 million in cap space, and given what they had to work with trying to keep this core together, how do you think they did in the offseason, even with a lot of change, trying to fill that in as they go?
Well, I think it definitely tells you where they felt about the season. And you said getting Sammy restructured down to $171 is, you know, I mean, scraping for bubblegum money, in my opinion, but it made me nervous. But the idea is that Andy Reid wants to keep everything they can. This is full steam ahead. And I think we saw reflected in your teams as well as teams around the league that trying to keep up with this offense when it's intact is a chore. And they certainly wanted to take their advantage and press it by allowing defensive players to leave when they had the opportunity, especially guys like Fuller, who I thought played an interesting role late and was able to adapt. The fact that they didn't really know how to use him in learning, and Steve Spagnuolo spoke about this just a couple weeks ago, in that at least through week 10, they were still trying to figure out what they had, how they could use guys to their maximum potential. And there were a couple of guys, particularly Fuller, that they just couldn't figure out until they had a need to fill. And so really for them, from a standpoint, is he certainly wasn't worth the $10 million he got from Washington, but he might not have been worth starter money to begin with. So they let that attrition. I think they will have missed Ogba, though. That did affect what they did in bringing in Taco Charlton, as well as what they did in the draft with Mike Dana, who I think is going to be an interesting piece to fit into the defensive front.
Well, I hope you guys are enjoying the Locked On Divisional Crossover episode, but I do have to send a special shout out to our sponsors over at rockauto.com, and it's something that can help everyone, because everyone has had issues with their car, and if you're like me, you've gone to many different places trying to find the best price for a part you need for your car, and you never know if you're getting the best price or if someone's trying to pull one over on you. I know I've had to deal with it, and I can change all of that with rockauto.com, because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. And all you have to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts they have available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So transitioning to our next point of discussion here for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think it's great feedback so far from Q, from Daniel, in terms of the Chiefs. Now, I think that we can look at every single NFL team from this microscope. Did they get better or did they get worse? And in your opinion, did they stay the same? Because there's that realm in the NFL as well. When I look at the broad spectrum of the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that they did get better offensively, because look, in the NFL draft, they added Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Can you expand a little bit, Ryan, on your thoughts on whether or not they've gotten better, whether they've stayed on the same path, or if they've regressed a little bit?
I feel like it's a slight improvement. It's very small. I would say most likely it's about status quo. Like you said, we lost a couple of people. We saw them bring in some other people. I think what they did, though, most importantly, in retaining not only offense, but they retained some things that are going to help them in what was their Achilles heel last season, defending the run. By bringing back Mike Pinnell, who was really the run stopper in there with Derek Nnadi, who allowed them to defend Derrick Henry in particular. But then by adding a speed linebacker that can play coverage so they can stay in the big nickel and not have to go to a three safety set with a safety as a nickel linebacker, I think that balances the defense better. Now, I feel like they've taken a step back at the cornerback position, and that's something that they're going to have to address, but they've proven that they don't feel that high dollar corners equate to high performance in the Spags system. They've conscientiously gone away from spending money on the cornerback position because they like athleticism over the top of everything else, and they feel that they can coach guys up to play in this scheme.
So speaking of high dollar guys, you have Chris Jones, who's the franchise tag holder, not the franchise tag signer, but he's right. The holder. What ultimately happens with Chris Jones, the big man in the middle that, in my opinion, 31 other teams in the league would love to have on their roster?
Unfortunately, this is what I told folks at the end of the season that we get the Super Bowl. This is the nightmare scenario where you have to let him play on the tag. And that's what's going to happen. I don't see any way they get a deal done. They have not actually spoken since before the draft. So it is serious. We heard a couple of things about them being in slight contact around the combine time. But since then, it's been crickets. I don't expect a deal done. I expect Chris to roll into camp about 3 minutes before the deadline, just like last season. I expect him to play his tail off, to tell you the truth. One thing that you can say about Chris, especially even coming out, motivation has always been an interesting part of him. He doesn't always play as low or as powerful as he wants to or he's capable of. A motivated Chris Jones is a good thing for Kansas City, and I think, unfortunately, while the dollars are going to have to be spent on the tag, I think it's going to keep him motivated, and you're going to see him be as productive as ever.
And when you're talking about, you know, if this team has gotten better or worse, I mean, it's important to look at the draft picks. And I'm just wondering, how important do you think it is for these draft picks to come in and play roles right away, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is, you know, the starting running back? They say he's going to be a star in the league. And guys like Willie Gay Jr. replacing some of the other linebackers, even Lucas Niang, having him as depth, and how important that could be in a season of attrition. How important do you think it is for this team to remain as a juggernaut in this division and in the league, but for these guys to come in and play big roles right away?
I think it is specifically split right down the middle, offense versus defense. The offensive guys don't have to put in reps right away. I like Yang. He obviously had the labrum repair mid-season-ish. I think it was October of last. So he says he's 100%, but having a guy like that that you can project to a starting role to have that time behind Schwartz and Fisher, I think that's money in the bank, just like it was for Mahomes, to tell you the truth. Learning from Mitch Schwartz is about the perfect scenario I could think for an offensive tackle right now, given coming from the spread and the other things that they have to do. I really enjoy that one. They say they're going to give him a shot at guard. I don't see that working out. I do think he will be the swing tackle. Likewise, Helaire, I can't think in the last four draft classes a better fit for a running back. That said, he wasn't the top running back on my list. I'm not one that goes for running back in the first round, to tell you the truth. And so the fact that we're talking about him sharing time with Damian Williams, who could argue that was up for the MVP of that Super Bowl as well, I don't feel like he's going to walk in and be the starter. They're going to split time as much as they can. Damian's been a guy that doesn't recover terribly quickly from injuries, and he always has injuries. So Clyde's going to get his time. I do think it's going to be a timeshare at first, but then you're going to see a 1-2 punch that I think is really going to help them. In particularly in the passing game. His interior route running, when, like we said earlier, when you know you have Hill, Watkins, Kelsey, and then Hardman, there's gaps in the middle, and that's where Helaire actually makes his money the most. I'm really looking forward to that. And on the other side, Willie Gay is going to walk in and play significant snaps. My guess is he'll be a starter by mid-season, if not before, just because they want to play that nickel as much as possible, and he's got, even as a rookie, the best coverage skills of any linebacker they have on the roster. That's going to be significant. And the guy that I would watch out for is the guy we said before. Snead is a guy that he's going to get pressed into service even without the Breland suspension. When you look at Rashad Fenton, who's a guy I like better outside, the team seems to like him better in at the nickel. His change of direction isn't elite, but he plays nasty, and he's aggressive, and they love that style. So you can see him moving around. With Breland, I think you'll see him go outside, and Snead's going to get reps in there at the nickel, unless they choose to drop down Tyron like they did at the end of last season, in which case you could see Snead playing the deep safety like he did his senior year at La Tech, alongside Juan Thornhill.
That seems to make a lot more sense, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I think personnel is always important in the National Football League. From a Broncos perspective, looking at the Chiefs, too, and I look at their defensive scheme under Spagnuolo in terms of the cover two, cover four variations, some of the match zone that they run, I do think that they do have the personnel on the back end, as you mentioned. So I do think defensively they did get a little bit better. The question is, you know, playing on the franchise tag, is he going to play happy? Is the morale in the locker room going to be an issue in the season? That, to me, is going to be a big question mark. But, Ryan, the next part that we're going to ask you here on this Ultimate Division crossover on the Chiefs focus day, you know, for you covering the Chiefs, coming off of a Super Bowl, there's this long-winded talk from many people, even in our network, about a potential Super Bowl hangover. We've seen NFL teams experience it. The Broncos, in a sense, they kind of experienced it, and they went 9-7 the following year and then missed the playoffs. That's when Kansas City won the division in 2016. Do you foresee any kind of, you know, hiccups in the Kansas City Chiefs in 2020 in any sense? And if so, what kind of issues do you see that could possibly arise?
You know, nobody likes a hangover, and I don't think that anybody in Kansas City does either. The thing that I find it a little funny that people feel that that's in the cards, because quite frankly, there's a lot of pressure on this defensive unit because, like you said, this is year two. Usually Spags historically has been best in year three. So you're ramping up. You've got key positions, guys that are going to be on the field, like we talk about in Willie. Bringing in a new pass rusher in Charlton, who's got to try to fill that gap that Agba actually filled very admirably, to tell you the truth. They've got questions at the starter there at the outside opposite Frank Clark. Clark is a guy who played with a nerve contusion all last year. So he's got something to prove. There's a lot of attitude on the defensive side, and I feel optimistic about that. And then when you look at the offensive side, so many starters returning. I mean, I'm glad Wiz got to go home, but, you know, one guard is not going to make a season. So I'm pretty optimistic that a hangover is not in the future. And quite frankly, Andy Reid looks at this roster and feels like he's just got new toys to play with. He's been very vocal about how much he's been scheming up, how many things that he's just been down on the chalkboard in the basement trying to figure out how he's going to use all these guys. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'll bet it's going to be fun.
You know, the one thing that we know about the NFL, and it kind of plays off of what Cody just mentioned, but the thing we know about the NFL is it's a copycat league. When Seattle was at their peak and they're playing really well with their defense and the Legion of Boom and their long defensive backs, that all of a sudden the rest of the league decided they needed to go and do the same thing. Well, as we all seen, especially in the AFC West, everyone's trying to keep up with the Chiefs. Everyone's trying to get the same kind of weapons or as many weapons that they could put out there to try to score and keep up with the Chiefs. How does Andy Reid, in all his glory, how does he kind of stay ahead of the curve and stay in front of the rest of the league that is trying to catch up with them?
Well, I think what he's focusing in on and what we saw not only from the draft, but through Chiefs media, the official media, we saw a little bit of a glimpse as to how he's going about things. And he's got a lot of trust in Steve Spagnuolo. They have a long history. So he's really trying to let Veach go get talent, particularly speed on the defensive side, and let Spags come up with how he's going to use them to not only improve, but honestly, to be different than they were last season, to be less predictable. That is a big thing that they had some trouble with. They ran a lot of invert coverages and things to try to throw things off. But when you don't have guys that are experienced in the scheme yet, it's a little bit difficult. I expect them to rebound. And Andy's just trying to get out on the bleeding edge of offensive concepts. And what I like is that a couple of hints that he's thrown out harkened back to that little spin maneuver thing in the Super Bowl where you saw like a full house backfield, which I want to see them run the ball more. I'm like the last guy on earth, but I do. And he's going to be creative. And I think Allaire is a guy that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is so specific to what Andy Reid wants. I think you might see a little bit more creativity in the run game as well. He's just going to put it all out there and you know, throw the magic wand at everything.
Well, I think, I mean, they don't run the ball that often, but I mean, especially against the Chargers, I mean, there's just a few plays where it just key impact giant runs. I mean, totally dramatically shifted the game and how it looked. And this is kind of a question that can only be asked to the Chiefs, because I think if you ask any of us, you know, who the biggest competitor is in our own division, I mean, you look at the Chiefs and everybody's trying to take down the Chiefs. So since we're doing the Ultimate Division crossover, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and just kind of ask you, when the Chiefs are looking down on the rest of the division, like we know that they like to do, is there anyone that they actually see could be competition as far as the Broncos, the Raiders, or the Chargers? Or is it just they're pretty much just knowing they're going to lock up the division?
I don't know that it's that point. I think Andy Reid in particular has a healthy respect for the other teams and particularly the other coaches in this division. Now, I know especially the Chargers are going through a quarterback change. I'm looking forward to talking about that. And maybe that knocks it down a little bit. Maybe you're not as concerned about scoring points. I don't know if they are, but I can see why other analysts would think so. But the fact that John Gruden has gone out of his way, I think, to attack his roster in ways that allows him to keep up with Andy, I can see a friendly rivalry being rekindled there. I think the Broncos have done a lot of interesting things, but nothing's going to work unless you can develop Drew Lock farther than his natural ability is taking him. So that's a question mark in my mind. I think it might end up being, you know, Andy and Gruden just kind of knocking it out there. But
that's
just
me. What I'm talking about.
So Q and I will be happy and everybody else can throw stones. But folks, that's it for us today on the Chiefs concept. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to go through every team in this division. It's going to be great. The four of us are going to knock all this out. If you missed a day or you're a show that doesn't actually listen to me very often, make sure you get back tomorrow and the next day and the next day and listen to all of us as we talk about your teams. Thanks for listening to us in this ultimate crossover division for the AFC West. We appreciate your time and we'll talk to you tomorrow.